the house. Those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The Lord, the word of the Lord, my friends. Thank you, Rachel. I feel like I should be dancing right now. A little tutu on or something. I don't know. I had to get a little dicey. All right. Our second lesson today is from Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, and then chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Again, receive the word of God. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking your child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Chapter 4, verse 6. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist, had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. In the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. There are plenty of good Christmas stories floating around these days, I'm sure, and you probably have taken the opportunity to enjoy the movies or programs or books or articles yourself. You know, it's one of those joys, isn't it? Isn't it one of those joys of the Christmas season to explore the memories and the fun and new turns and twists of the stories that fill Christmas with its Christmas cheer, right? Don't we enjoy that? Of course, the Grinch is a perennial favorite. I grew up on the cartoon version of the Grinch that was, of course, based on the Dr. Seuss book, which is also great. The Grinch himself, as you know, is not so great. He's absolutely horrible and detestable throughout the whole story up until the very end, right? You probably know this. Apparently, though, he's also pretty horrible and terrible and detestable in real life. There was a situation, you may have heard about this over in the UK, in which a family hired a professional Grinch, an impersonator, to show up at their Christmas party, at their house. Just a few weeks ago, this happened. They expected him to come in to their home to mess it up a little bit, you know, engage in some hijinks and be an all-around obnoxious person. What they didn't expect, apparently he was so bad that, according to the mother, he tore the house up, broke things, broke ornaments, threw food all around, broke eggs on the floor. That one just gets me. And apparently poured something called fairy juice on the kid. All over the kid. I saw a picture of the house. It really did look bad. Oh, it was messy. Oh, the place. Of course, Mom was furious. But, you know, when you invite the Grinch into your home, you get what you pay for, right? I guess. I'm not so sure I'm going to invite the Grinch into my home. I suspect you might be reluctant to do this too. On the one hand, I'm probably enough of a Grinch for my whole family. On the other hand, home is just that special place, isn't it? It's that special place. And, you know, to have your home violated in really any meaningful way, that's a pretty big deal. You know, my own family is still struggling to deal with that home invasion we had last year. And what, 3 subpoenas later? It's still just a mess for us. But, you know, even though that really shook us as a family, there is plenty of good around the home. This whole Advent season leading up to Christmas now has been thinking about home and what it means in the Bible. If you have been following along, it should come as no surprise that we might consider what home means in light of Jesus. Now, Jesus has a very interesting relationship with the idea of home. Of course, he wasn't born at home, but some ways away from Nazareth in Bethlehem. Now, even though they're like 70 miles apart as the crow flies, it would have been a longer journey still, avoiding the more dangerous places and with a very pregnant woman in tow. A good estimate is that Mary and Joseph would have traveled for at least a week to get where they were going. Once there, of course, Mary gave birth to Jesus, and they seemed to live there for up to 2 years. By that time, they were in a house when those Eastern astrologers, aka wise men, show up. The story of Matthew makes all this context pretty clear. But if you remember that story, from there, they had to travel quickly to Egypt, where they lived for a few years until King Herod dies. We don't really know how long that was precisely, but once Jesus and his family returns to Nazareth, he remains there only, you know, until it's his time to wander out. Then Jesus takes the road to Galilee. The path that goes that way would have taken him right to Capernaum. I've walked a little bit of that path myself, and I actually shared some pictures of that path in that presentation on Galilee that I gave here earlier this year. Jesus was a traveling man, no doubt about it. Luke really expounds on this idea in chapter 9 when Jesus responds to people who were interested in following him. He tells them that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And when people say that they want to follow him, but they want to go back home first to say goodbye or to bury a family member, Jesus brushes them off completely. He really seems to have no sentimentality about home. When he does go back to Nazareth, he gets in trouble. They reject him there. So maybe his feelings are warranted. You know, I think if they had a Christmas parade back in Nazareth in his day, they probably would not have invited him to be the Grand Marshal. And even if they had, I don't think he would have accepted the invitation. Maybe the first lesson of today is that we should all just leave home and shake the dust off our shoes and not look back, right? Well, no, of course not. Of course not. Jesus is working out of a time and a situation in which he cannot be tied to any one place. He has to be a traveling teacher in that traditional rabbinic sense. He moves from town to town to town to teach and to help the locals. Also, he can't be worried about what was behind him and before him. What happened at home was smaller to him than his work for God. You remember what he said about his family members, right? Who are his sisters and brothers? Who are his family? Those who do the will of God. That's where his focus was. Another way of looking at this, maybe a better way, is that his true home and his ministry are more connected than is maybe obvious. Jesus' home was on the road, staying with friends wherever he found them, traveling constantly as he spread the gospel. Some people take their work home. Jesus took his home to work. Our modern notion that you work in one place and live in another is really being challenged in these days. You've probably heard that since so many people have had to work from home over the course of this pandemic and continue to, the workforce is rethinking the whole idea about working from home. You know, there'd always been at least a few people out there who could do this, who had the luxury of having the option. But it has become a necessity for so many who would never have been able to do it before. Many more employees expect this now. I don't think I could work from home very well. That to-do list just keeps growing if I'm at home. But there are loads of people out there for whom this makes a lot of sense, right? Especially those with little children, maybe, who need the flexibility. This is actually going to be a boon for working women, working mothers. The pandemic has really changed how the world thinks about work, but it has not rethought what home means. For Jesus, there's no distinction. Home is not one place or two places or three places. It moves with him through his ministry. Sure, Capernaum somewhat ended up being like a home base for him, but that is where his fishermen friends lived. It was the perfect location for his ministry around the Sea of Galilee. He could pass through there going north and south. Jesus was not bound to any physical home like you or I am. But his life was on the road. He was at home among the people of God and in doing the work of God first. Any home would have been what is convenient for the ministry. Just like working from home, the home situation today is a matter of convenience for the employers and employees. In this way of thinking, you know, maybe home is really where we are most needed. That may be what points us to home. Yes, we are probably most needed where the rest of our family is, if we have the rest of a family out there. But the Spirit of God has always had a way of pulling us exactly to the places where we need to be. I was talking to John earlier, and I told him, I said, I'm going to use you in my sermon today, John, so just watch out. As I remember a conversation we've had before about when he was telling me of his time in the Peace Corps and his years in Nepal. You know, he was far away from home, obviously, but he followed that service into a new home that has stayed with him the rest of his life, right? He will always have those years with him. On a smaller, much smaller scale, I found something similar in my chaplaincy in India. The hospitality, the friendship, the collegiality of those folk in a faraway land made it possible to make a home where it was not home. Just think about all the people, all the many people who swarmed Jesus with love. It doesn't matter whether they understood him, what he was saying, what he was doing, what they saw and felt and tasted and heard was someone who pointed them to God and reminded them that God was with them. They needed that more than anything as the Roman boot crushed down on their necks, as their life, as their health was pressed like olives, and there was no hope of a future unless God's own Christ came to save them. So, you know why they welcomed Jesus with arms wide open. They made a home for him in so many places. How are we making a home for Jesus today? I wonder whether we really consider how much we might need Jesus. You know, if home is kind of where you're needed, does Jesus have a home among us? Do we really need Jesus? Does he have a home in our families and in our homes? Does he have a home in our community? How much do we know that we need him? On the one side of this is to think that about where we are needed. But that question can only be answered once we get a sense of where Jesus is needed. Sure, we could say he's needed everywhere, yeah. But he does seem to be needed in some places more than other places. In fact, I think he is needed in Farmville in some pretty significant ways. The wider community here has had a hard time, a particularly hard time coming together, really coming together. We need Jesus to come and point us in a good direction for greater collaboration and ministry. There is strength in numbers, friends. We need sisters and brothers out there to better find our Lord between us. Ministry has to be what lifts up our neighbor and not just us. Whatever home is to you, it also has to mean more than just you. Home is where life happens. Life is never just about staying behind locked doors or curtain windows. Our home should never have moats or drawbridges. Some people have used their homes for generations as places of ministry to the community, like the East End Fellowship and the Chat Ministry in Church Hill that I've mentioned before in worship. Our homes right here have reached across fences to our neighbors, and this is so critical, even to those with whom we truly disagree. They must have, because God is here, moving in our midst. The love and grace of God has been moving in the generations of yesterday in times of less than love. Jesus is at work, my friends, because we need Jesus here. The Holy Spirit is making us stronger in our home through faith. Whether you are new to the area or a long timer, it makes no difference. In terms of this place and this time being a home to you, we're here to follow our Lord where and when He leads. We are here because we need Him, because this community and the world are crying out for better from the people of God. This place is special to us because God has made it special to you and to me and to all of those whom God needs us to love this day and every day. Maybe we end with a Hallmark card. I don't know, but it does seem to make some sense that home is where the heart is. To God be the glory. Amen.